They used to say, preach up a storm in here. We'll get a little fire and brimstone going. Everybody could use a little fire this morning and keep the cold from seeping in so bad. Title of message today, so I won't keep you too long, because I know you're cold, and is God will meet the need. And I just want to start off the new year with, you know, rather as not as maybe heavily theological as a lot of these messages can get and in depth and get into the root of things, but I want to hit some priorities, and you start out with it this year. Now, I'm going to say this to you. We all know this. We need to keep in mind, yes, God will meet the need in whatever way that we have a need. We're going to look at some how He's done this before. But God, there's a lot of things we need God to work miracles for this coming year. I do believe there's a land of freedom. This year could really be the deciding point. I think that. And what happens, and it's going to be a year, but at the end of this year, I'm trying to lay off saying too much politically. And yet, at the same time, you know, I'm really burdened by the stupidity that I see. And not just stupidity, but absolute evil to hurt people. And we discussing some veterans things back in the back there and how the government will take from a veteran a few dollars that they need desperately and give $450,000 or try to someone who's never done a thing to help this country. Folks, it's wrong. And so it's not just the government. It's the way that churches are compromising. You know, I'm not going to just pick on government. The churches are compromising. Denominations are compromising with the Word of God. They're not standing on it. It's like, hey, we want to draw a crowd. We want to keep the parking lots full. What they're really saying is we want to keep our wallets full. We want to have a big bank account, so let's don't offend anybody. And let's just, you know, let's have a good entertainment. I've had some more of this people saying, Tony, if you just look down the road there, Bernie, there's some churches there, especially one in particular. They have this huge music and it's so loud and everybody, the young people just get into it and it's like, that's great. That's great. I mean, that's my response is that's great. Do I really think it's great? No. I'm going to tell you something. We all want good music. What I really prefer to have musical groups here that would just, you know, yeah. Well, we can't afford it, and we've tried doing that, and I'm amazed at what a band will chart. You don't get anybody to come in and just do it for the Lord anymore. and that just hardly ever happens. And so would I like to? Yes. But I don't want to do it to make people just feel good. Folks, the church exists. Pastors are called to speak the truth, just like Jesus did. And sometimes people don't like it. And yeah, we can be dancing around in the aisle if we want to. And we can be 45 minutes of loud, roaring music and a 15, 20-minute little sermonette and send you home and let you go to hell. It's the truth. Because you're entertaining, but you're not telling people the truth about what God says. And it's not all a little joyride, and He's not Santa Claus. And that's the way that they're acting. You know, there's this concept. It's a socialistic church concept, you know. And God's being treated like, you know, God the great Santa. And you just, you know, if you're a good boy, a good girl, He'll pull out of His little bag the many blessings for you, and He'll just bless your little adulterous, miserable life. It's the truth. And God says, repent and turn from your sins, and I'll bless you. It's true, isn't it? And I don't want to make anybody uncomfortable. Friends, this is what it's about. And so, try not to say those things mean or harshly. It's just the way it is. And so we're facing all of that. You will be tempted with it. People will come to you and say, You know, go somewhere where you go in there and you feel good. Feel good. God, I could, you know, I don't know. Sometimes I can eat a good greasy double meat cheeseburger and feel good. You know, really. Some good salty French fries and there's something about that and just feel real good. And then just lay back in your chair and go to sleep. Watch the pounds just build up. But sometimes that just tastes so good, doesn't it? You know, and so you can feel good that way. I want to feel good in the Lord, but anyway, so here it is. We need the truth, and you're a truth bearer, and wherever you go, the whole challenge in this is God's going to meet the need, but God wants you to honor Him, and He wants me to honor Him. So having said all that as a lead-in to this, this is not something hammering at government, hammering at church. It's just to say we're faced with so many misleading, treacherous paths out there. And you stay on the straight and narrow path and don't let your confidence in Christ be shaken. So having said that, God will meet the need. He's going to give what you need. He promises that. I want to give you Philippians 4:19. It says, my God will meet all your needs, all of them. We usually read this and think finances, and that's true. That's one of them. But he says all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. So let's start this off in these little points here with this. God, he'll meet the need, and it says, my God will do it, no guessing, all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. So that's unlimited. So what does God promise to do? You take this home with you and you get encouragement from this today. No matter what our society is doing or our government or other churches or anything else, you rest assured that God knows what's going on and God promises to meet your needs. He may not meet all your wants. Some of my wants, if I look back on them, and I still have some wants. But some of those wants are pretty out there. And I've gotten frustrated at God in my life because, you know, I wanted something and it just wasn't happening. And He didn't promise to meet my wants. I have seen God give people the wants in their heart if they're really honoring Him. Everybody with me? He'll do it. I've seen Him do things way beyond needs. But He promises to meet your needs. And so, yes, let's talk first of all about financial needs, because that's because that's what was happening with Paul. When you read over in Philippians, please do that. Now, this is Philippians 4:19 I'm quoting from. Read before that. Paul had a great financial need, and so did a bunch of the churches, and some of the other churches sent a great gift to Paul and then through Paul to help out. And they really blessed Paul with a great financial outpouring. And so he responds. He said, I've learned in whatever state I am, whether it's a lot of money or no money, rich or poor, in between, to be content. And then he said, my God will meet all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And so what he was saying was this. God, he said, just like God came through and people gave and they helped me. That's what Paul was saying. And they helped and they had more blessings than he could use. And he was really taken care of at that point. And he just, and then God through him said, now I want you to tell everybody and I'll do the same for them like I've done for you. I will meet their needs. I will meet your needs and I'll meet your financial needs. Whoever in this place this day has financial needs, I want you to know something. God knows those needs and God has promised to meet them. Just be sure you're looking for them and take them when He offers them. The problem with a lot of us is, and whatever our needs are, we're looking over here for God to do it, and we have this pre-programmed way that God is going to meet that need, and then God is offering it over here, and we're missing it. We don't get it. And He's saying, I'm giving it here, over here, and we're saying, no, you're supposed to do it this way. That's the way I'm programmed for you to do it. So don't get yourself so hung up in your programming that you can't see a new way for God to take care of your needs, because He'll do it. And God's going to meet your financial needs. He didn't send you here to owe money to everybody the rest of your life and to be a wreck. And so do what He wants you to do. You give your part. You tithe. You do what God says. And I'm going to tell you something. Now, people ask me this, and we discussed this a while ago. When you tithe, you can be guaranteed of one thing. You'll probably be tested. God says, you know, you give to me and bring the money in my storehouse, and he says, I'll open up the windows of heaven and say, test me in this. He will do it. He'll bless you for that. He'll pour. It says, give and it'll be given unto you, pressed down, running over. Will people give to you, and with the same measure you use, will be given back. But let me tell you something, you'll be tested. Has God ever put on your heart to give a gift to someone or to the church or whatever it is, and then immediately something breaks? And you're going, I thought you said, give and it'll be given. You know, bring the tithe into my... And God said, I didn't do that. The enemy did. And that devil is always trying to discourage us, and you'll get tested. And I've done it myself, and it's like, you know... And you'll debate and say, I sure could use this, but God wants me to give this to so-and-so, or God wants me to tithe with this, or whatever, so you do it. And then you go out, and your vehicle won't start, and your battery's dead. And then it's cold weather. That could happen real easily. And you're going, I just gave that money over here, and now look what I get. Anybody ever had that happen? Just a few of us? Yeah. And God is saying, you're being tested. The enemy's trying to discourage you. But you hang in there, and you don't ever resent giving to the Lord, helping God's people. So as God said, you pass that test, you just come on through it, you'll get a lot more blessings than what you ever thought, and much more than you ever gave. So that's enough on that. God will meet your financial needs, but it says here all your needs, and so let me tell you what else. There's some needs that we all have that we don't realize. And we don't admit all the time. In this place today, and in everywhere, every church meeting today, whether people realize it or not, there are spiritual needs that they need met. There is a communion with God through the Holy Spirit. There's love in their heart that they really need. Some of you here, most likely, and people And God's family everywhere across this whole world, this very day, they need love so bad, and they need to be loved so bad. They're desperate for it. There are people, Christian people, who compromise their morals, their ethics, because they just want to be held. They just want to be touched. They just want a moment that someone is accepting them as a real life human being and seeing them. And it's not real. I mean, when we sell out like that, but it would get so desperate for the human touch, for somebody just to care about us. And so we struggle, and we say, well, that's a physical, emotional need. Yeah, it is. But it becomes a spiritual need, because the more we get into that trap of seeking, you know, affection, of seeking someone to just be close to us, and we start compromising, it becomes a serious emotional need that's not being met. Because when you really physically need somebody close to you, when you need an emotional contact, the first thing to realize is, if I need it that bad, what's missing in my spiritual walk with God? And the first place to turn to is say, God, I want you to fill this longing, this loneliness, this place of emptiness in my heart. And not, listen, friends, don't turn to the world. Don't turn to money. Don't turn to people. When that temptation comes to do that, and that's human, let God meet the spiritual need first. Let God be your companion. Let God be the one that you love. Let God be the one that's sitting there next to you. I hear a lot during the holiday season, people say, I'm so lonely, I'm so depressed, I miss my husband, I miss my wife, or I miss whatever, I miss my kids. It can be, I miss my friends. I mean, there's a lot of loneliness that comes in this time of year when we're all celebrating, and there's a lot of lonely people, and they talk to me, and I talk to them, and they share this kind of stuff. I'm just so alone. And gently, very gently, you try to guide them into an understanding. This is not a really true emotional, physical issue for you. And it's like, it's not. I need somebody here with me. I just want somebody to just sit and watch the fireplace or the little wood stove, or just, you know, now you can turn on your TV and you can watch the fireplace on your TV. You know, you can get that, you know, and or just something, just somebody. And it's like, But don't you see, you're mistaking the need for someone there for him to be there. You see, let God fill that void. And here's what I've seen consistently. When you turn to God and let him be the one that fills that loneliness need, that to fill the friendship need, to be the companion of your life, God rewards you. He will. When he's first in your life, he said, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and all the things you need will be given to you. He will provide his person, his someone that's the right one for you if you'll just seek him first. Everybody's looking at me like, But it's true. And we have spiritual needs that we need God to meet. Some of you have a spiritual need right now that you need him to meet, and that's the need to take away your guilt and take away your shame. You need God to go in and just let him into your past and let him clean up the mess. So you can look at yourself in the mirror and say, you know what? I am justified by faith before God. By grace I am saved, not by works. God loves me just like I am, and God's not holding my past against me. Let God do that for you. Let him clean up your past. And the physical needs, we have physical needs. Some of you need healing today, right now. You need God to touch you and heal whatever that broken thing is, that wounded thing is, whatever that nerve problem is, whatever that joint problem is, that stomach issue, whatever it is, you need God to heal you. Let him. Just let him. Let him do it his way. He may use medicine. He may heal you instantly on the spot. Let him do it his way. I've never understood, and I cannot explain for God things he doesn't tell me. I just never understood why sometimes it's like, why do people have to go through surgery? He could just touch it, right? Yes, but sometimes, I don't know, maybe he wants you to witness to people. I don't know all that. I just know that God uses a lot of different means to get it done, but he'll do it. Trust him to do it. Let him heal you physically. Let him heal you emotionally. Let him meet your emotional needs. Right here. And I know we think emotional, okay, loneliness and all that. Some of you have deep emotional needs, and that you need to quit losing your temper every time something happens. Now, nobody's, you know, snitched on anybody else, but, I've had rumor that one or two might be losing their temper around here often. I don't have any temper people. I don't know why I'm looking over there. I'm sorry. I look over this way. I'm just looking at this poor guy over here. I know he doesn't lose his temper, you know. You know, really, seriously, and we need to let God meet that need. If you just blow up, you know, that literally at the old drop of the hat thing, you know, why? Have you ever thought that some of these things that you're so mad at, you can also find humor? You can laugh at it as easily as you can get mad. And so, I'm not going to look over here. Anyway, and so, but really, there's some things, you know, listen, I have a tile floor. When I first moved in that house, so we put tile in there because we couldn't figure out what else to do. But there's one thing I discovered about tile, and I don't like it. If anything breakable hits tile, you will find pieces of it 30 feet away. And when you try to clean something sticky off a tile, I don't know why it is. I think tile just has this little thing when something sticky falls on it, and it sucks it into the tile. And as you try to clean it and it dries, you say, that's done. 15 minutes later, it just goes and puts it back out. So I reached in the pantry here a few days ago, and I was looking around. I was looking for a jar of sweet pickles. I think that's what it was. I love those sweet pickles. And so I was looking for my sweet pickles. And there was this jar of jelly. And I brought it out, caught the side of my shirt sleeve. And that jar fell and hit that floor. And the first thing I said when it hit that down there, and glass just everywhere. And then there's this gook, It was gooky jelly. You know what I mean by gooky? It didn't stay in one wad. It was just going. And they're going, oh, maybe that stuff wasn't good to start. I don't know. That's rotten now. Anyway, you know, I have found some things in my pantry that were outdated by 6 or 7 years at least. Anyway, so anyway, there's all that mess there, and there's glass everywhere, so you start trying to clean. I couldn't get the sticky off. I scrubbed, and then you vacuum and get all the glass out there, and you're trying to rake up all the jelly, and it just keeps coming up and coming up and coming up. It was days before I could get. I would scrub and scrub and do everything I could do. Hot water, I called some people. What do you do for this? Oh, you get this hot water and you do this and then mop it. And it was like, okay, that's good. And you'd walk back over there and it's all dried up and you'd walk up and there goes your boot, and it's sticking and you hate that sticky sucking sound that it makes, And then we're down there again. Finally, after days, we got that mess cleaned up. And you say, why are you sharing something like this? I got mad at that issue. When that hit, I was mad. And then, and here's what happens. And I realized part of our temper spell, and I was having some temper at that, was feeling sorry. It's self-centered. Why has this happened to me? Me. Me. Why has this happened to me? It happened to me. Man, no, my. And so temper gets to be a focus on myself more than anything else. And then the Lord began to work on me with this. And it's like, maybe if you found some humor in life, maybe this sticky wouldn't stay around so long. The way you're going at it and so mad and screaming down there, you're just making it worse. Why don't you just laugh? It could be funny. I'm not telling you, and I'm not about to, that I've really conquered all this and I can laugh at every goofy thing like that happens. But I am finding more of a sense of humor at stuff like that. And it seems like things get repaired, cleaned up, just go better if you can just laugh at it. Just learn to laugh at what's going on. Just throw up your hands and say, whatever. Just start. I'm serious. Instead of being mad, because mad puts the focus too much on ourselves, and I realize that's what I was doing. And this stuff happens all the time. Don't drop any glass on tile. Period. That's just my word of wisdom. Does anybody know what I'm talking? You got tile. It's over. And you will find shards, little pieces of glass for months. No matter how much you vacuum. I don't know how it hides. You vacuum, you can hear that stuff going in the vacuum. And then, and you do that over and over and over and over. And then you think you got it and you walk in there. Don't walk in there barefoot for at least 2 months. Because all of a sudden it's, oh, and there's that little sliver of glass stuck in. And listen, life's like that. A lot of us, listen to me, a lot of us emotionally are walking around and that's what's happening. And things shatter in our lives, don't you see? And they get real sticky. And they leave residue. And emotionally you're stepping on this stuff for a long time to come. And God says, you know what? If you'll let me, I'll help you clean that mess up. I have... The blood of Jesus can cleanse that stuff away from you and it won't be sticky anymore. Maybe things happen to give us a spiritual lesson, and because we get so focused on ourselves too quick, we miss the teaching of God in the whole thing. Maybe we need to be translating it more to the kingdom of heaven, and the jar of jelly drops and we're all upset and we're trying to blah, 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 and God is saying, no, this is symbolic of what's in your life. You've got a real nasty old jar of jelly that's gone. It's past its due date, its expiration date. You need to get that out of there. Now it's gone and shattered in your life. Somebody's brought up something from your past. Somebody is making life real sticky and miserable for you. And it's time that you quit focusing on them and being mad at the thems and the theys and the its, and turn to me and let me cleanse that stuff where you can walk out of this pure and clean and holy before me. And I think when we start looking at it, so many things God allows right now in our lives is not because He's picking on us. He's trying to use it to heal us and set us free from stuff. You know, maybe there's not a spiritual lesson in everything, but most often there is. And we miss it if we blow up and we get focused on self. Well, I need to move on, but you see the issue here. I'll tell you something else we need God to meet and a need in our lives. We need to be protected as well as loved. And most people would never admit it here, but man and woman in this place needs to be accepted. We want to know that we're accepted for who we are and what we are. We all crave acceptance, whether we admit it or not. We want to be approved by people. We want to have some quality in us, some gifting, something that's neat about us that people look forward to seeing us. We have something to offer in life. Everybody wants that. We want purpose. And in Jesus Christ, God will provide that because He's given us all spiritual gifts. He's blessed us with natural gifts. Some of you can you can go in there and repair a vehicle. You can wire things. You can do stuff. You can cut boards that just fit together. I can cut boards guaranteed to never be used again. There's no way. No matter what I use them on, and it's unreal. You know, I try and I figure. I've even had people to draw the lines on there and say, "Tony, just cut this line." Oh, yeah. And I start trying to cut. I don't know why the line moves on the board when I'm cutting it, but my lines don't stay still. They move. And it's a crooked cut through there. And it's like, how could you possibly do that? I put that on that saw for you. Just push it. And it's like, I did push it. But the line halfway through the cut moved over. It didn't come out right. Any of you find your life is like that? That it just won't stay straight? You can't get a straight cut and you can't get everything together? Well, join the human race. And that's what Jesus Christ is all about. He's here to help us. He is a carpenter, right? And He's a master carpenter and He's great at fixing things. And when stuff goes wrong, Jesus, think about it. Jesus, you know, He wasn't just a carpenter and born into that family to learn that stuff just for a trade. It was to say, I am the carpenter of life. I can rebuild your house. I can replace broken hinges in your heart, in your mind. I can do a real paint job on you, and He can. I can clean you up. I can take that old hurt and wounded expression off of your face and give you one that radiates happiness and joy. And people will love you and look forward to you coming. I give you gifts and purpose. God has equipped us, friends. Start letting Him bless you with what He's equipped you to do and who you are, and turn that frown to a smile. I got to move on. We got to close this out here. So let me say this. God will meet the need and then God will rescue you. I want you to know this. Whatever situation you're in, God will rescue you. Let me just share this little story real quick with you. There's a place here in a story in Acts 12, and Peter was arrested and he was going to have to go see Herod, which is not a good thing. And so the night before Herod was going to bring him to trial, I mean, he's going to bring him to trial for preaching Christ. Can you know, that's a real thing to bring him to trial for. He was sleeping between two soldiers. They were so scared of Peter. Get this. Here's one of God's ministers, and Peter has not pulled a gun on somebody or anything else. I mean, you think about it. He's just preaching Christ, and they're so scared of him. That's what we need today, by the way. We need this whole country, this whole world, so scared of Jesus Christ working through us, they don't know what to do. They put two guards there beside him, So that, why would you need two guards beside a guy who's never hurt anybody in his life, and his whole Christian life? I mean, what's he done except preach Christ? And you're still scared of him. You got to put guards on each side of him. And he's in chains. You chained him? Now, that's really fear of somebody. But here's the neat part. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone in the cell, and he struck Peter on the side and said, "Wake up." This is in Acts 12 if you want to read all about this. "And quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off his wrist. And the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and your sandals." And Peter did so, and he wrapped them around you and follow me. And he did. And they walked right out. There's a whole bunch of you right now I would encourage to let the Lord shine on you. There's a bunch of us in chains this morning, chains to our past, chains to criticism, chains to abandonment, chains to abuse. We're chained up to failure. And God has sent and is continually sending the angel of the Lord, His Holy Spirit, to speak to you and say, "Get up. Would you quit lying here? Get up and let these chains fall from you. I've come to take those off of you. But you've got to get up so they'll fall off. Quit lying there depressed and miserable. Get up and I'll walk you out of here." And right now, this morning, God's saying to us, get up and let the chains of depression, oppression, failure, all the stuff that we're carrying and guilt and whatever, let those chains fall off of you and I'll walk you out of here. I'm a rescuing God. I'll deliver you. God will deliver you. Give Him a chance. He'll set you free. So an angel brought Peter out of jail. You might want to read this incident. The Jews stoned Paul. I don't know. We don't ever preach about that. Nobody ever talks about that. Paul, the Apostle Paul, was stoned by the Jews and left for dead. They thought he was dead. He wasn't breathing or anything as far as they could tell. And they put him outside the city there. Just pitch him away, you know, and all of a sudden, he gets up and walks off. That's a shocker, isn't it? And he, what does he do? He goes right back into that town. Right back. Now, that he's a gutsy guy. Paul, you didn't mess with him. And he walked right back into Antioch. And I tell you what, he went and started preaching again. He said, "Oh, you want to stone me to death and leave me for dead? I'll give you some more of it." It's like, wow. Here's what the whole message is. An angel brought Peter out of jail. The Jews stoned Paul. I think some of you have been stoned pretty hard. You've been hit pretty hard in life. Some of you have been hit right now. You've been hit hard. And I want you to know you can still get up and walk off through the power of the living God, the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you somebody else that walked off. Jesus. They put him in a tomb. They crucified him and they put him in a tomb and rolled the stone in front of it to make darn sure he stayed there, and he walks out. An angel of the Lord came, there's an earthquake, and Jesus walked out of that tomb. And if God can bring Jesus back to life and walk him out of a tomb, he can get you out of your tomb. You can walk out too by the power of God. You look at the people that have been in a mess in life, and I'll tell you one of the worst ones. I lived this myself in a different way, but there was a fellow named Jonah. And you know what? We all laugh about, we sort of laugh about Jonah and how silly he was. God called him to go preach to the people of Nineveh. Then they were cruel people, heartless. He didn't want to go to Nineveh, probably afraid he'd be killed. I can understand that. But he didn't want to do it, but God called him to do it. So he gets on board ship, a bunch of things happen, they throw him overboard, and the big old fish comes up and swallows him up. In the belly of that fish, whatever it was, they say it was a whale, by the way, and this is, I know, we'll do this another theological study. Nobody knows what kind of fish it was. It was a big fish, so everybody figures it was a whale, but whatever. A big fish came and swallowed him, and he said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. And from the depths of the grave, I called for help, and he said, 'You listen to my cry.'" You can read the rest of this. I went there too. I left the ministry. I told God, never going to do this again. and the fish of life. And I tell people this, it doesn't take a big fish, litter of fish in the sea. You run from God and God will send the fish of life, whatever that is, and he'll swallow you up and you're going to stay in the belly of it until you repent and tell God and say to him and give over to him, I'll do what you put me here to do. And he kept me there until I finally said, either take my life, I did, take my life or use me again because I can't stay here. And back to ministry I went. The last place on earth I ever wanted to go. I said, I don't ever want to go there anymore. I've been hurt enough. And here I am again on year number 40. 40 years I'm on. You know? Yeah, and I was out there in the Bentley, you know, and oh God, I'll do anything. I'll fix fence, you know, whatever. But no. I just can't go pastor again. It's just, I can't take that anymore. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You quit telling God you can't or won't, because God's telling you can and will. Or you'll stay in that fish of life, whatever that is. No temptation has seized you except what's common to man. You remember this. And God is faithful. He'll never let you be tempted, he says, beyond what you can bear. But when you're tempted, he will provide a way out so you can keep going and endure it. You just keep that in mind. This message today is meant to encourage, is to help you heal, to get you going into a new year. So let me wrap this up with this, you know, these two points here. God's power will be with you to do whatever it is God wants you to do. You keep that in mind. God, there, you may feel so weak and so powerless, but God's power will get you through. Psalms 23 says, you anoint me, you know, 23rd Psalm, but part of that says, you anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. And over in 1 Chronicles, by the way, and I'm God's anointed and so are you. Do you know what God says about that? He said, do not touch my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm. I could give you and have testimony after testimony of people that have came at me and really tried to hurt me, did ugly things to me and others of God's prophets, and I've watched them go in a bad way. Bad, horrible things happen. And that's the protection that God gives people who do ministry. You serve the Lord and God will give you that protection. You're His anointed. He'll anoint you with the oil of gladness. What's the anointing today? Do we need to pour oil on you? No, we can. But you know what the real anointing is today? It's what it always represented. It's the Holy Spirit. And every one of us in here needs to be anointed with the Holy Spirit. We need His filling. We need to be set aside by God. Let God set you aside and be the person He put you here to be. And come out of the tomb. Let the chains fall off. Come forth. Come forth like Lazarus. Come from the dead. Take the gray clothes off. Quit living with the junk of your life and be fresh and healed and clean and pure. It's a new year, then be a new person. That's what the scripture says. Be that new creation in Christ He's made you to be. Really? I mean, God. And then in this other point, God will give you, He's going to make you victorious and successful. And you can rest assured on it. Quick story. It's not my story, it's a Bible story. Over in Judges, there's a fellow named Gideon. If you read this lately, you need to read it. It's great. And God wanted to defeat the enemy right here at this point. And Gideon had a whole bunch of people. And the Lord said to Gideon, you have too many men. When do you ever tell an army they got too many men to go into battle with? I want as many people as I can get. I was always wanting more than I was authorized. You know, in the military, you have an SOP, standard operating procedure, and you've got a TONE and an order of equipment and everything that you're allowed for whatever, you know, and a loadout of ammo and all this stuff. I always want more. You know, when I was a lieutenant, it's like, that lieutenant, he'll beg, borrow, steal. He'll take it, if the loadout is 2 hand grenades, he wants 15. Well, sure I do. You know, if I can get... Why do you want to ever go in anything that's just a minimal? Too many Christian people go into life with just a minimal. Put on the full armor of God and get loaded out and get all your weaponry. But anyway, here they go. So he says, you've got too many men for me to deliver the Midianites into your hands. And so he said, and here's why God said that. He said, I'm going to eliminate some people from your army. If I was Gideon, I would have had more problem with this than he did. I mean it. It's like, hey, those guys have got a lot of folks down there, and you want to take people away from me? And God is saying, you know why God's doing it? He said, because I don't want you or Israel taking credit for this. I want the credit. And so I'm going to let you watch me win this battle, and you're going to give me credit for it and not take it on yourselves. You ever thought that lessons like this happen in the Bible just for you? Maybe God has allowed some limiting circumstances in your life so that when He works the miracle, He'll get the credit and not you or someone else. Is that why you're where you are? And instead of being angry at God and feeling sorry about it and for yourself and getting mad and throwing a fit, maybe you need to just stand up and say, okay, God, you have limited things in my life, so you can work a miracle and you will get the glory. All these lessons are in here. There's so many things in this today. You know, probably too much overload. So he ends up with 22,000, and then God eliminates those. And then he finally does the final elimination. He said, let them go down and I want to watch them drink. Okay. And so most of them got down on their knees like people do, and they're sucking water, you know. And then there was 300 out of all of these thousands that they scooped the water with their hands. And God's point in this was the true warriors are always alert. They see those that got down and were drinking the water from their hands and knees like people often do if they're real thirsty, and maybe you've done that out somewhere before, they weren't watching for the enemy. They're easy targets. God picked out of all these 30,000 plus people, God picked 300. And with 300 men, he told them to get these candles and blow these trumpets. And you can read the story. And with just 300 out of this, they took those Midianites and scared them so bad they turned against each other and they defeated them. They didn't defeat them, though. God did. I want to tell you something. Your circumstances right now that have limited you are very well the pathway, can very well be the pathway to God's miracle tomorrow. You say, well, I don't have the money I used to have, and I don't have this, and whatever's happened. You think about these stories you're hearing today, maybe, and most likely, God has cut things down so you'll give Him the glory when the miracle comes. So let me wrap it with this. When you feel like you don't have enough, you probably have more than you need. Gideon felt like he didn't have enough. You've cut my army down from 30-something thousand to 300. And God said, but you're not looking at the army of heaven. You don't see the hills full of chariots. You're not looking at the hand of Almighty God. Gideon couldn't see it, but God did. And I want to say this to you because God put it on my heart. You don't have to have enough. God has enough. And God will provide. And God will meet your needs. And He'll do whatever it is that needs to be done if you'll just open up your heart and give Him a shot at it. God can do the miracle. You just stand by and let it happen. And give Him the glory when it comes. Father, we thank You. We thank You for this little baby Pruitt back here. God's blessings upon that child forever and ever. God's blessings upon each and every one. Lord, we just pray Your hand of protection, Your hand of providence, Your hand of giving, Your hand of wisdom, Your spirit of anointing. God, give us courage and boldness before the Lord in the spirit of humility to give You all praise and honor and glory all at the same time. God, bless us spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, financially. And God, bless us with the love of God in Christ Jesus. Right here, loving You with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Loving each other and our neighbors, ourselves. And God, bless us with just an outpouring of Your love in our lives so that loneliness is taken away, depression is taken away, and we can just bask in the presence of the living God who loves us so much. He sent His only begotten Son to die on that cross, rise again. God, we thank You and praise You. In Jesus' name, blessings upon you all in Jesus' name. Amen.